Today on Real Radio.
This is so serious. None of us can escape this. That Jesus warns us the false looks so much like the true. But what sets us apart from the false? They have no fruit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables. Now, our primary passage that contains a number of these parables is Matthew chapter 13. Now, you know, Jesus really liked to talk to the folks on their level in terms that they'd understand, just like we heard in the parable of the sower. We'll also take a look at the parable of the mustard seed in upcoming editions of Real Radio. And today, we'll have a look at the parable of the tares, sometimes known as the parable of the tares among the wheat. It's often described as an alarming parable on many levels. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Tares.
Verse 27, so the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed into your field? How then does it have tares? And so he said to them, the enemy has done this, the propagation of false doctrine. Galatians chapter 1, this is awesome. Please mark this down. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Boy, I tell you, memorize this. Use this. Have it like a shield over your heart. Paul said to the church at Galatia that had a great start, he says, I marvel that you've turned away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven, stop right there, leave it on the screen. Paul is saying, how long did he say this? 2,000 years ago. He said, if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, because Christ gave it to them, let him be accursed. Let him be damned to the furthest or the deepest of hells. As we have said before, so now I say again, if, and he reiterates, if we, an angel, anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. There are ministries running around this world right now saying, we got this doctrine of ours from an angel. And it's completely different than what's written in the Bible, but we want you to believe it. Did anybody hear me?
Yes.
What do you think of that? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The Bible absolutely anticipated this deception. Think about it. You can go down a list of cults and man-made religions whose beginnings came from a, quote, angelic appearance and gave the word that supersedes all others, or the word of God. False doctrine. Another thing about false doctrine, by the way, that tares love to do is, and no pun intended on this, that tares, people who are tares, they love to tear down God's work. Maybe you go to a church and you're growing and it's going great and you're happy about Jesus and you're in love with Jesus and things are going great. And then a tear comes along and says, oh, yeah, really? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go there. You ever hear somebody say something like that? I mark them as tares personally. Oh, you know, when people go around poo-pooing God's work, they're tares. It's a dangerous thing. Mark them. Yeah, but I've known the person all my life, or I recognize the face. So, the Bible says that they're going to be right from among us and right with us. If somebody kind of delights, like, well, let me tell you what's right and what's wrong. There's ministries on the internet like this now. The internet is both crazy and fantastic. There are people who nobody would ever give them the time of day, but now they have a blog, and they've got lunatics and maniacs blogging. And anybody can read it. The only thing is you don't know if they're an idiot or a lunatic or not. And so the danger is this. Mark a ministry to determine if it's producing fruit. Is it fruitful? Is it sticking to the word of God? Is it honoring the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, is there a challenge, a call to holiness? Is there a dependence on the Holy Spirit? Is the word lifted up? Then listen, we've got to understand something. There are no perfect churches. God will see to it that there's no perfect churches. The funny thing is, if you find, I found the perfect church, and then you go to it, and you've missed up the whole thing by going to it. There's no perfect, wherever there's humans, we make mistakes, all of us. But is Christ honored? Is God's word supreme? And then for somebody to come along and say, well, you go to the First Baptist Church over there? Oh, you know what? You know what? If I were you, I would be. And then they cast doubt on them. And you're growing there in the word of God. That's a tear. That's a false brother, man. A real Christian wouldn't talk like that. It's very, very serious. See, now that's like, oh man, I know people like that. Then listen, be careful. Be very careful. Number four, watch out for false leadership. This is huge. There's a book, by the way, I forget the name, the author, but there's a book. It's very old, but it's called Predators in the Pulpit. Oh, that's scary. Oh. What does it make? Why are you nervous about that? Jesus warned us over and over again. Paul the Apostle warned us over and over again. I love it. Listen, Acts 17:11. That's what you should always apply to every sermon you hear here. Anybody speaking here, driving in on the radio, you listen to anybody on the radio, you apply it there. Any conference you go to, apply it there. What does it mean? Acts 17:11. You test everything you're hearing against the word of God. Test it against the Bible. Paul the Apostle said, don't listen to a word I say. Test it against the Bible. False leadership. Verses 28 and 29. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? I wish he would have said, yeah, gather them up. Wouldn't that have been great? But he didn't say that. Verse 29. He said, no. Why is Jesus saying this? Is he being rude? Is he being rough? Not at all. Watch. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. The word in the Greek implies this. Look, the tares are growing so close to the wheat that their roots have crossed over one another and they're in the soil together that if you grab the tare, if you do find a tare, how do you deal with it? If you grab it by the neck and yank it out of the church, you might pull up three or four other brothers with them that are real brothers. But because they are either emotionally or whatever reason, because of immaturity or whatsoever, caught up, they could be hurt. You know what's amazing about this? I don't know if you know this or not, but this is so serious of a thing that us pastors pray every week. Dear Lord, bring those to this church that you would and keep back all those that you would not. Think of that. You say, what? Don't you want a bunch of people here? No. I want God's people here, or the person who's not yet God's person, wanting God, but the person that comes in and says, I wonder how many people I can kind of get circled around my face, and they'll have to listen to every word I say, and I can kind of lead them off into the corner. Be careful. Dangerous leadership is out there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Yikes! Even as there will be false teachers among you. Isn't this, church, I know this is not a warm, fuzzy, happy feeling service tonight, but don't you need this? Don't we need this? The Bible says there's false prophets that have always been around, and oh, cheer up, they're going to be around you too. Wow. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. and many, wow, not a few, will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. That's a graphic description that their judgment is coming like a blade coming. It's coming. Wow, that's strong stuff. And then number five, it's this. Watch out for false fellowship. Verse 30, but let both grow together until the harvest. Watch out for false fellowship. Jesus says, this is the way it is. Church, we're going to end with this. Jesus says, this is the way that it is. The word of God, and I need everyone's attention. You're like, oh man, that's heavy. Okay, watch this. The word of God goes out. It lands into people's hearts. We know this from our previous parable, and we apply this parable tonight. If the word of God is received into the heart and you are producing fruits, okay? You are a true believer. And the Bible teaches that people ought to be able to watch our lives and come to the conclusion that's a real Christian. Okay, false fellowship that tares propagate, they either A, live in secret, and you'll never know their lifestyle. You'll never have access to them. You can never really know who they really are. It's part of their deception. Or those who do know them are just like them. They preach one thing in public and they live a false life in private. And they might have their little group, they might have their little clan, but what does Jesus say in the parable? They're going to produce wheat. They're going to produce a crop that is the true wheat. The tares produce nothing but poison and dementia and bitterness. And he's warning us, watch out in these days. I encourage you, have your Bible. At all times, have your Bible. Now, I still got to catch up to this new technology age, because I saw a guy last week in the foyer and he was complaining about something in his life. And I said, well, of course, where's your Bible? And he goes, well, it's right here on my phone. I said, okay, you got me. I mean, I'm used to seeing a Bible in your hand, you know. But now people have a Bible on their phones. Okay, I got that. Bible. Now watch. How do we know? How do I know? If the tares look so much like the real stuff, if Jesus himself said, don't tear them up because they look so much like the other, you might hurt the good stuff. Then listen, how do you know tonight if you're not a tare or not? How do you know tonight if you're a real Christian or not? It's the fruit. The fruit of your life. Now listen, we're going to end here. Can you, listen, you must stop and examine your own heart and your own life. If you have to go home with a piece of paper, do it. But ask yourself, if someone was watching me for the last 30 days, would they have concluded I'm a Christian? If the answer is no, then you're probably not a Christian. Listen, Albert Barnes, the great commentator, said, you can be convicted of your sins. You can say the prayer. He said that you can read your Bible. He said that you can be baptized. He said that you can go through all of the outward things. And yet inside, never have a longing, desperate heart for God. You can go in and out of church and never be saved. And there's no transformation that's taken place. You've got to be able to ask your own private life. Speak to yourself and ask yourself, has my life changed? And do I have a passion for God? This is so serious. None of us can escape this. That Jesus warns us, the false looks so much like the true. But what sets us apart from the false? They have no fruit. So church, Christian, me. We must ask ourselves, can anyone tell I'm a Christian? Is there a passion for holiness in your life? What does that mean? That means when you do sin, you hate it and you don't plan on sinning. You want to live for God and you launch out on your day, but when you trip up and fall down, oh, it's a miserable moment for you, and you cry out to God for forgiveness and you say, Lord, that's not what I wanted to do, and you hate it. But if you just live your life and you sin and there's no burn in your soul, not religiously, not in front of other people, not if the pastor sees you, or none of that stuff matters. It's, God, I have sinned against you. I have hurt you, Jesus. If you don't have that going on, my dear friend, it is very, very possible. Either A, you're not a Christian, or you may be worse, and that would be a tear. And I don't want you to be a tear. Look, if you're not a Christian tonight and you need to become one, then you do it now. But if you're a false brother, false sister, propagating false doctrine, well, I don't know, and you know, Oprah Winfrey said this, and I read this book, and it said that there's no hell, and that's what I don't want a hell either, so there is no hell, and you start propagating, listen, you're dangerously, dangerously skating with eternity. And the only way to combat this is self-examination. And this is sobering stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Tares, a look at one of the agricultural analogies, if you will, told by Jesus himself to his disciples. A very sobering parable indeed. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, today being Friday means that it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. We always try to get as many in as possible, so just send your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. All right, Pastor Jack, here's a good one. This one comes from a listener that says, Pastor Jack, there's a great possibility that our 17-month-old grandson, his name is also Jack, by the way, could have cerebral palsy. He seems to be a happy baby. His dad is a non-practicing Mormon. Here's the question. Should we pray unceasingly for baby Jack's healing, as it would be a powerful testimony that may move his father toward salvation? What sort of plan could God possibly have?
Oh, first of all, Lord, touch little baby Jack and heal him and use his precious life. Lord, you know in all things that in the end, all things will bring you glory. Amen. You know, first of all, the most pressing issue right now is the fact that baby Jack is living like we are in a fallen world.
Right.
We have the ramifications of mankind's sin everywhere. We so often want to place the blame on God, and yet if we read our Bibles, we find out that Jesus said in John chapter 10 that Satan came to rob and to kill and to destroy. So you and I live in a fallen world, and horrific things happen, and
right.
It's happening to little Jack, okay? And so what number one we are to do is we're to do what we know what we're supposed to do, which is love him, take care of him, and give him hope. Tell him about the real God of the Bible. Tell him by love and by reaching out. I would suggest this. Let the father who doesn't know Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, mm-hmm. let the father see your Christian witness on little Jack. Let him hear you biblically representing, biblically, not emotionally. This is our battle. You know, emotionally we get involved and we get off course.
Right.
Let the dad see you ministering to little Jack with this love and devotion and care that's all biblical.
That's good.
And let him see the mercy. Let him see how
yeah.
God's got a hold of your life. Let him see the Spirit of God bringing out in your life the fruit of the Spirit, the self-control, the kindness, the gentleness, the
yeah.
peace.
Yeah.
And let this witness opportunity, imagine little Jack's life is a mission ministry field that's been created with hopes perhaps, right? With hopes that his dad will come to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay? But regardless of his dad coming to know the Lord or not, your mission is to love on him and comfort him. And as you love on your son, I pray that the witness, and I know the witness will not go without attention, will be one that will bring conviction and perhaps salvation to your husband, to Jack's dad.
To Jack's dad, and maybe to people around that see. There's a caveat.
Absolutely.
There is a caveat to this one, and I'd like to throw it in there just real quick. The original question said, she closed off the question by saying, my daughter, Jack's mom, doesn't want to be 70 years old changing the diapers of her grown 40-year-old son.
Well, who does?
Nobody wants
to exactly.
do that.
No, exactly. None of us.
But here's what bothered me a little bit, if you don't mind me throwing this in here, is it seems like the writer was saying, isn't God supposed to give me a more perfect life, an easier life? Isn't God supposed to give my child an easier life? No.
No, nowhere is that in the Bible. The Bible tells us so brutally, honestly, that we live in a world that has been radically, radically turned upside down because of sin. Jesus said, in this world you will have great difficulty, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's the Bible that tells us it's not going to be right until it's over. I mean, Abraham asked God the same thing. Shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? And then Abraham went on to say, yep, he will.
Yeah.
We need to stop realizing or thinking or trying to convince ourselves, isn't it supposed to, don't we want to have heaven on earth here? It's not going to happen. Look, we're just miles from Disneyland right here, sitting in the studio.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go into that place thinking, and the fact the sign out front says, welcome
the
to
happiest
the happiest
place
on earth.
Yeah.
Well, Junior thinks so, but Dad is going into a fit of depression because he's got to pay the ticket to get into
the
place.
Pay the MasterCard.
I mean, it's almost robbery, you know. So my point is this. We've got this Disneyland mentality, but when you wake up to understand the truth, it's very expensive. Well, yes, it's expensive.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus came. So expensive. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the grave. We're not in heaven yet. And all of us have kids. All of us have spouses. All of us have issues. All of us have financial problems.
Right.
Listen, God never said, oh, I'm going to make it so easy for you if you accept me as Lord and Savior. No, he promised to get us out of this thing alive and present us in eternity forever with him.
Now, maybe this one hit me a little more personal than so many of the other Ask Pastor Jack questions that we get. My sister had a son born with cerebral palsy. He's 23 years old now, and she's taken care of him 24 hours a day for the last 23 years. And countless people have come to Jesus because of the way she treats this child who's brain dead.
Listen, I'm going to be brutally honest. Listen, I don't know the answer to this. I want to say I do.
Yeah.
I want to pretend I do.
Yeah.
But I stand up in front of thousands of people every week, and I teach the Bible. I have not yet been called by God to live out the changing of my wife's clothing,
right?
Giving her a straw to sip her food by.
Right.
Listen, for me right now, that's academic. Mm. Isn't it something? Isn't it? I teach the Bible to thousands, but those trials are coming.
Yeah.
I won't escape them. They are coming. What I'm to be doing right now is preparing myself for that moment. That's what I do as a pastor teacher, is prepare people to take on life's challenges head on. Not to tell them, this will never happen to you.
Right.
If you just have a positive thought, only good will come your way. That is heresy and false doctrine. The word of God goes out. We are to embed it in our hearts that when we are tried and tested, we will come forth as gold through the refiner's fire.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. That is indeed some tough stuff. Email your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.